Imagine for a moment that I'm a terrible thief, lived a life of crime all my life. I've spent my whole life stealing food every single day. And personally, I think I'm quite justified because I've got no food. Other people do, I need it. It's just distribution of goods, really. Now, I've gone through this for many, many years. And eventually I'm caught and I'm dragged before a judge. And I plead my case, saying, oh, look, have mercy on me. And the judge is very good. The judge not only says, look, I will not punish you, but I will pay the fine for you. I will pay for every bit of food, every bit of bread you've ever stolen in your whole life. Now, that's an amazing act of mercy from the one who should be condemning me. And it's only right that I would then walk away and celebrate this. If I got enthusiastic, I might write songs about it. I might tell people to rejoice over this judge and, you know, put pictures of him around the town and celebrate his mercy. Problem being, though, is that I'm still hungry and I still don't have any food. So the time is going to come where I'm still going to go back and steal something. And eventually, after a few months or weeks or whatever, the guilt of that will get to me, and I'll go back to the judge and I'll say, oh, you know that debt you're paying on my behalf? I wonder whether I could add to the tab, whether you could just add something else to that. Now, this would keep going on and on for the rest of my life. As long as there is no food, I'm in a situation where I have to, simply to survive. Sadly, I think this is where most of us find ourselves in our relationship with Jesus. We can look at the cross, and we know the mystery of salvation, that Christ has come to sanctify us, to pay the price. As we hear in this beautiful reading from Hebrews, by virtue of that one single offering, he has achieved the eternal perfection of all whom he is sanctifying. Christ has paid the debt that I should have paid, but never could. And we know this. This is the essence of Christianity. This is why we have the crucifix here in the church. It's why you probably have it in your house. This is why we sing all these songs about the mercy of God. And yet every day, we find ourselves stuck back in the same dilemma. I still don't have any food. I still have to go out and steal to feed the deep, burning hunger that's in my heart. Now, I'm sure you know that hunger if you actually stop long enough to reflect on what's happening inside your interior world. Because you see, sin is not actually the problem. Sin is really a symptom of the deeper illness, which is this deep craving, this deep yearning within our hearts. Sin is simply the thing we do to try and feed that hunger. Yeah, it's a person stealing bread. Stealing bread's not the problem. They can spend their whole life going to all sorts of bread stealers anonymous meetings trying to reform their bread stealing ways, but until they meet the problem of their hunger, they're never going to stop. Now, I think this is an important point to face because we can talk about this mystery of salvation. And so often we can talk about it in some sort of economic terms where Christ pays the debt and then I'm set free and we live happily ever after. And yet as Catholics, we can live under this constant sense of guilt, constant sense of never being good enough because I know that I keep sinning. I know that I shouldn't, but I do. And we drag ourselves to confession, or some don't even get that far because they feel so ashamed. But we do it with this deep weight upon us that I'm just not good enough. How can I come and ask for Christ to pay the debt once more when I know that tomorrow I'm going to do it again? This is the reality we find ourselves in. And it's so many spiral downwards to a point of almost despair in this. I think so many Christians almost give up when they think, well, there's no point going to confession because I'm just going to do it again. There's no point trying to be holy because I'm never going to change. There comes a point where we need to throw this back at Christ. If he has offered one perfect offering for the sanctification of the world, then how is he going to meet us in our hunger? How is he going to meet us in that place which drives us to sin? How is he going to meet us in that place of deep loneliness that causes us to try and smother the loneliness with everything or anyone, anything at all that we can find to try and console us for that moment? The answer is back at that one offering. We look at the cross, and it's not simply, as I said, Christ paying the price. That's one part of it, and it's the essential part of the mystery of the cross. But we need to look deeper. We need to look deeper into that mystery. In a sense, going back to what I was saying, if this judge has paid all the debt for everything I've ever done wrong and sits there patiently every week as I come back and keeps adding to the tally of how much he's going to pay, I'm missing the point, because the judge has food. The judge has mountains of food. If only I would spend time with him rather than just coming and saying, add this to the bottom of the bill. If only I would actually get to know him. Ask him for help. Ask to enter into his house, into his dwelling, and eat with him, to be fed by him. I would never need to steal again. Now, this is where the cross comes in. Yeah, we're in this year of grace where the church is calling us to look again at the mercy of Christ, look deep into the mystery of the cross. And most of us don't even know where to start. And kind of rightly so, because the cross is a hideous thing. Yeah, it's very natural for us to look at the cross and feel repelled and think, I don't want to think about that. It's hideous. And yet Christ is there saying, I call you. I invite you to look deeply into the cross, because there you will find what you're looking for. And I think this is the journey we need to take. Because as you look upon the cross, there you will find food. One of the beautiful images that's used in the scriptures is of the tree of life. We hear of the tree of life at the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And then it comes up again right at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelations. And whenever it's spoken about, it's spoken of as bringing life. Its leaves bring healing. Its fruit is for life. And there's this been long tradition within the church that the tree of life is the cross. That Christ has taken this symbol of death and transformed it through the power of the resurrection into the source of all life. So if this is the case, if this symbol is actually real, we need to come and eat of the fruit of the cross. We need to come and feed ourselves so that we can experience the fullness of sanctification. To not just have our sins taken away, but to have our hunger taken away as well. So look deeply into this. And I encourage you, don't look at me during this homily. Look at the cross behind me. Look upon Jesus upon the cross. And the key thing is for us to look and see our story there. I don't know whether you've ever looked at the cross in that way, to see how personal this is. One of the images I always love is where Jesus talks about himself being lifted up upon the cross and drawing all people to himself. And he uses the analogy of when Moses was in the desert with the people. Snakes were afflicting the people and biting the people and killing them. And so Moses created an image of a serpent and held it up and said, anyone who looks at the serpent will be saved. Nothing will afflict you. Look upon the very thing that is killing you, is basically what he says. Look at the image of the thing that afflicts you, and there you will find life. Jesus says the same thing about the cross. He says, look upon the cross and see there the very thing that afflicts you. See the loneliness. See the rejection. See the abuse. See the betrayal. See this absolute isolation where Christ hangs, rejected by both heaven and earth, suspended in midair. Look upon that and see what is happening in your own heart. Can you see what drives that hunger, that sense of loneliness, that sense that nothing can satisfy? You look within yourself and you see the wounds of rejection. You see the years where people have avoided you or spoken badly about you, the deep pain from family, where those closest to you, the ones who should have loved you, have hurt you so much. Look upon the cross and see that reflected back to you, where Christ is betrayed by his own brothers, where Christ is abandoned by all. If we can see this, this starts to feed the hunger, because this is true love. Yet to be loved is not this simple sort of empathy where someone pats you on the head and just says, there, it'll be okay. It's where someone can truly say that they know your pain. They are prepared to enter into it. They know you. They encounter you in that place, in that darkest of all places. They're prepared to sit with you there and dwell with you in that horrible place. That is what our hearts crave for, to know that we're not alone. If you can gaze upon the cross and see that Christ is right there with you, to see that every day he is there waiting, while we are desperately trying to medicate the hunger and run away from it, Christ is waiting for us there. In the hunger, in the loneliness, in the pain. That's where he waits for us. And we whinge and complain because we can't encounter him. We don't see him. We pray and we don't see God because we're running away from the place where he dwells. He wants to love us in that place where we so desperately need love. We need to look deeply upon the cross. We need to make this a habit every day to waste time just gazing upon the cross. The great torment that so many people face where you feel out of control or you don't feel that you have control over those that you love the most, your children, you see spiraling out of control into all sorts of behavior. Your family, you just don't feel like you can do anything. You so desperately want to bring it into some place where you can, know where Christ is in the midst of that. Gaze upon the cross and see that in the midst of absolute chaos, Christ is there. When the whole world is turning in on itself in absolute horrendous violence, God is there at the center, saving it, loving it, redeeming it. This is our hope. This is our consolation. And this is where we find our own lives being transformed. The same hunger that drives you to sin is the same hunger that will drive you deeper and deeper into the heart of Christ. Whenever you find yourself being tempted, understand that you stand at a crossroads. You can go and try and feed that hunger in your own way by falling upon the creation of God and trying to stuff your face with it in any way you can to try and just satisfy that yearning. Or you can turn to Christ. fall upon him in that desperate hunger and say, Lord, where are you? How are you going to satisfy my loneliness? How are you going to satisfy my yearning, my need? Make yourself present to us. This is a call to deep prayer. And if you truly want to turn your life away from sin, you need to understand that prayer has to be the answer. We can't simply get through life trying to do the minimum, hoping that we can come back every week to confession and just deal with it that way. Jesus wants more than that. He wants to transform your life completely. He wants to turn you back inside out so that you can actually be fully human, fully alive. To learn that way of prayer, where in those deepest and darkest of moments, you will just turn naturally to Jesus. It's in that everyday discipline of seeking Christ, asking those deep questions of where is he in the horrible stuff. That's where we learn to encounter him. And the more you do this every single day, you'll find yourself so naturally going to feed yourself from the fruit of the cross, to feed yourself from this love that's poured out so abundantly. The great tragedy of Christianity is that we know that God loves us. But that's it. We know it, but we never actually live there. We never actually dwell there or feed ourselves of that love. When people talk about the love of God, I so often hear people sort of rolling their eyes and saying, yeah, I've seen that before, I know all about it. But we don't know it. We don't know even where to begin in knowing it. Because we run from the very hunger that is meant to draw us deeply into it. We fill our lives with the noise to suffocate it and then drown it out. So my encouragement and really my challenge to you is face the reality of what's inside of you. Face the hunger, face the yearning, face the loneliness. Turn off the noise in your life for a moment. Turn off the mobile phone, the radio, the television, the internet. Sit in that horrible place where you actually have to face who you really are. Those moments where it is kind of terrifying because you realize how desperately you're yearning for something. That's where your prayer begins. That's where you need to look upon the cross and begin the relationship. In a very real way. Not some distant devotional way, but to really come before Christ and say, love me. Reveal yourself to me in this hunger. I need to know your salvation, otherwise I'm going to keep going back and sinning every day. Christ comes to us here in the Eucharist. He comes to us in a form where he actually does physically feed us. He wanted to come in this way to make us realize that this is why he is here. To not just feed a physical hunger, but this deep spiritual hunger. So come here aware. Come here so aware of what's inside of you that it almost maddens you. Because that's where you're actually going to come with your eyes open. To see what it is that's before us. That here upon the altar, the death and resurrection of Christ is made present to us. The love of Christ poured out to feed us, to nourish this deepest yearning. If we actually were aware of what happened here, we would never sin. Because we would be so completely aware and filled with the love of God, we would not be looking for it anywhere else. So come here hungry. Come here gazing upon Christ, crying out to him that he would reveal himself, that he would make himself known in those deepest places within you.